Like Dan said, the beginning of my getting to know the Church of Christ, but more than just getting to know the Church of Christ, it was feasting on his word with others. And I loved to feast, and I still love to feast. I love to feast with food, but I love to feast in God's word. And I remember often it would be 1 or 2 in the morning, and Sister Manon would say, would you like us to pull the hide of bed out? In other words, they were going to bed. yeah, they were joyful memories. And I hope I can do that for others. I'd like to be able to offer that in my home. Excuse me, just a moment. I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, our brother Marvin preached, and there was a scripture that he read that I never remembered hearing this follow-up scripture to this famous scripture. So I'm going to reread the 3 verses that he read to start off with, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So, here the gospel, or excuse me, the house of God is defined as those who do obey the gospel of Christ. And that's that famous scripture. You hear it over and over because it reminds us of our responsibility as believers in the gospel of Christ. Then it goes on, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And it was this next verse that is kind of the key to this whole thing. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. And that suffering is the suffering of our own flesh, our own will, our own desire. Submitting that to the will of God. At the beginning of this chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind that Christ had. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane is when he submitted his will to the will of the Father. He said, let this cup pass me by. That was his will. But not my will, but thine be done. And so we're supposed to have that same mind. That, sure, we can pray for things we desire. Sometimes we pray for certain people to get well. That's not bad. But always with the caveat, I don't know if that's the correct word, of your will be done, Father, because he knows what's good. He knows what's right. He knows what's best for us. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He who submits his will to God, she who submits her will to God, her desires, has ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. In verse 13 it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'm going to read that again. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. That day when his glory is revealed, that's what our brother Marvin referred to this morning as I called it our goal, as I wrote it in my notes. The best is yet to come. That day when his glory shall be revealed, that's our hope. That we will be like him. And so it's our job to submit our will to his. This morning, our brother Marvin talked a little bit about the promises of God. And I'm just going to turn to that hymn. Is our sister Manon here? Do we have a pianist here? Could we sing this? Standing on the Promises of God, I'm sorry. Hymn 320. Okay, she's going to play. And I'm going to ask you all to stand. Hymn number 320.
Standing on the promises.
Thank you, Sister Manon. You know, submitting yourself to the will of God, submitting your will, can be a scary thing in the flesh. I mean, it's doing what God has commanded us to do can be a scary thing. I really appreciated this verse 2, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. The author of this trusted that God's word is true. When he makes a promise, he cannot lie. In this last scripture verse we read in first book of Peter, chapter 4, I read verse 13, but I'm going to read verse 12 and then 13 again. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. I think often when there's something really difficult in our lives, we think that. Why is this happening to me? And yet, there's a purpose. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. You know, when we submit our will and the natural man to God, and we do what God commands us to do, that's when things happen. That's when we touch others with the light of Christ. That's when we see God move. So I'm going to list some of the promises of God that we can rely on, that we can stand on. First, I wanted to just read the promise that God gave to Abraham, and we've seen it fulfilled. It's found in Genesis chapter 22. Beginning in verse 15. Genesis 22:15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because that thou hast done this thing, and what he did is he offered up his son Isaac to be a sacrifice. He sacrificed. I can't imagine that sacrifice. It's hard to me even just to think about putting myself in the place of Abraham. So imagine the trust that he had in God to make that sacrifice. And verse 16, and said, the angel said, by myself, I'm just going to start again in 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Our brother Marvin this morning said that the promises of God aren't just, we have to know, we have to read them. We have to know what they require of us. One thing they require of us is obedience to God. Obedience to what he says for us to do. And Abraham submitted his will. Obviously, he didn't want to offer up kill his only son. Yet he trusted God, and God provided the sacrifice, and he did not have to kill him. But he showed his trust, his obedience to God, and God blessed him with a blessing. And God gave this promise. And God has made promises to us, and in 2 Peter, we'll just read a little bit about promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Second book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So he's given us all things that we need. And some of it, we're going to be reading about those promises. The promise that he gives us that if we do certain things, he will give us certain things. So, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I'm going to read some of these promises. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's a promise. Same, to expound on that, in the third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verses 39 through 41. Third book of Nephi, chapter 5, verses 39 through 41. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. I don't think that's enough. So I'm going to go back up a little bit. Okay, here it is. Verse 34, and whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved, and they are they which shall inherit the kingdom of God, a promise. Verse 35, and whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it, and this is Christ speaking, and I bear record of it from the Father, and whoso believeth in me and believeth in the Father also, and unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Another promise, and we're going to read about that in another verse as well. And thus will the Father bear record of me. That's how the Father bears record of Christ, through that fire and the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. I don't think that that's an accident, that the order of those is switched around. It's my personal belief that we have to become as a little child to truly take upon us the name of Christ, to trust him so much that we believe that when we're baptized, that we're cleansed, and that we're baptized with the Holy Ghost. I think we have to trust so much at that point in our Father, in God the Father, for that, we need to trust him with that baptism, that he's going to cleanse us and that he's going to give us that Holy Ghost. And then that next verse, repent, be baptized, and become as a little child. That attitude has to continue in our lives. Being a little child, that trusting in God for every choice we make, every day we live. Verse 41, verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. So there's another promise. If we build upon this doctrine of Christ, if we believe and are baptized and continue in that belief, in that faith in him, in that trust in him as a little child, if we build on that, then the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And whoso shall declare more or less than this and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. And this is another promise in it. Helps us know how careful we should be with this doctrine, not to declare more or less than that. Next verse in second book of Nephi, chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. Second book of Nephi, chapter 13, beginning in verse 15. And also, I'm going to start in 14. And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also, the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me and do the things which ye have seen me do. So there again, the promise, be baptized in the name of Christ, and the Father will give the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and Savior down into the water, according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. I love that promise, the promise of the Holy Ghost, and I remember our brothers and sisters at the time that Christ came to this land. And he taught them about baptism and about the Holy Ghost. And he left them for a while, and He left, gave the disciples authority to baptize. And they so desired for that Holy Ghost that they knelt down and prayed for it. And they were baptized, and God gave it to them. That gift that God gives us to face any situation that is strengthened by the Word of God, when we exercise it, He leads us in what we should say and do in fiery trials or in the good situations in life. When we're blessed, He helps us to know what to do with those blessings. Verse 17. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and then ye can speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. That's another promise. That tongue of angels. And that tongue of angels is referred to over on the next page, chapter 14. It says in verse 3, and now how could you speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. And we are given that with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the tongue of angels, which are the words of Christ. We're given that gift. Each one of us who've been baptized with the Holy Ghost are given the gift to be able to speak the words of Christ. And that gift is exercised by our feasting upon His word. That gift is strengthened by our feasting upon His word, which is what chapter 14 there is about. We have those, as we read earlier, those tools, everything we need for life. I'm trying to remember what it said, life and... can't remember. It seems like it was righteousness. I wish I remembered. I'm going to look it up. This is in Second Book of Nephi. I'm just going to read it real quick. Second Book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 3. According to as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us those tools that we need to live according to His will, to submit ourselves to His will and to do what He commands. Verse 18. I'm not sure I finished 17, but that we can speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Verse 18. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father, that ye are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, having received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, yea, even the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you that ye had not known me. Another promise, serious promise, about this gift that God has given us. Not to take it lightly, not to neglect it, because in neglecting it, we're moving ourselves closer to denying Christ. John chapter 14, verse 21. This is a promise about those who keep Christ's commandments. John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. What a great promise. We know that God loves us, that he sent us his Son. But this is even more so. We know that we can obtain the love of the Father by keeping the commandments of Christ. That's how we demonstrate that we love Christ. And the promise is that the Father will love us. And it says, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He'll speak to us. He'll present himself to us in some way. What a promise that is. And it happens when we keep his commandments, when we take precious his word, when we read it, and we do it. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. And this, oftentimes, we don't know how we can, we feel we're incapable, for some reason, of keeping God's commandments. And so God has promised us that if we ask for help, if we ask what we should do, if we ask for knowledge, if we ask for understanding, he will answer. We will receive. And I've got several, he says it many different times in different ways. And I've got several readings on this. Matthew chapter 21, verse 18. That doesn't appear be what I'm looking for.
But if you continue reading from there, you'll get a promise.
Dan tells me to continue reading there. Okay, so I'll start at 17 and read to 22, and we'll just see what this has to say. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? This is what I wanted. Thank you. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. He's saying greater things you can do than what he did. Another promise. And James chapter 4, verse 3. This helps explain that it's not just asking anything that you want. It's once again sacrificing your own desire, your own will, and asking for the will of God. James chapter 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So we can know that if we don't receive, possibly we're not asking for the will of God. We're asking for our own will. For second book of Nephi, chapter 3, verse 65. And this, I love this chapter because it shows me that Nephi too recognized his own weaknesses, but yet he had a hope and trust in Christ. And I'm actually going to start in verse 61. O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh, yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me if I ask not amiss. Therefore, I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. So Nephi put his trust in God, and he asked him, even though, and in this chapter he talked about the sin that so easily beset him, and yet he knew he had power over that sin, over that temptation, through Christ. And he put his trust in God, and he asked for what he needed. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That God loves us so much. When we desire to do good things for him, when we desire to do his will, and we ask him for those tools that we need to keep his commandments, he will provide. That's what this scripture is saying. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. I love this scripture because earlier I mentioned that if you haven't got an answer, it might be because you're asking for your own will. And I say it might because it might be that you haven't kept asking him. You haven't been diligent. Sometimes he requires us to diligently seek him. And so that's what this scripture is about. Luke chapter 11. Verses 5 through 10. And he said unto him, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. That word importunity means constant bothering. And so if you think about that, sometimes we think, oh, we shouldn't bother God with this poor, this little thing that I need. But God wants us to bother him, to constantly bother him with our needs. Our needs that we can do his will with. I say unto you, verse 8 again, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The key word there, needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What a promise this is. Over and over and over and over, God is telling us to ask. Ask for the things that we need to do his will. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, this is a promise about forgiveness. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. 2 promises. And God keeps his promises. So if we expect to be forgiven, we have to forgive. We have to. Alma chapter 9, verse 15. And by the way, just so we aren't confused here, because sometimes people confuse forgiveness with trust. And forgiveness is given. It's a gift. Trust is earned. And I think that's important to clarify, because sometimes I think people get those things confused. Forgiveness is saying you no longer owe me. But sometimes people have to earn our trust. It's just life. They have to earn our trust. So I don't want people to think that because the word says we have to forgive others, that means we have to trust them. That's not what it's saying. Alma chapter 9, verse 15. This is a promise about the mysteries of God, about knowledge. Alma chapter 9, verse 15. And Alma began to expound these things unto him, saying, it is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. Nevertheless, they are laid under a strict command. So I'm assuming since this is a strict command, that it's from God. That they shall not impart only according to the portion of his word, which he doth grant unto the children of men, according to the heed and diligence which they give unto him. And therefore, he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. So if we harden our hearts to God's word, if we don't obey it, if we don't desire to learn it, if we don't desire to keep it, if we don't desire to learn more about it, then therefore, if he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. So we receive less of it. And it'll go on here, the promise. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, greater understanding, greater knowledge, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. What a promise. We can get knowledge of God's word if we pay attention to what he's already given us. If we take it precious. Many have given their lives so that we can have his word, so that his prophecies can be fulfilled in our time. If we heed it, we can know more. We can get a greater understanding. We can know more what he wants us to know. Verse 19. And they that will harden their hearts, to them is given the lesser portion of the word, until they know nothing concerning his mysteries, and then they are taken captive by the devil and led by his will down to destruction. And I have been reminded recently of the importance, and I have not heeded this, but the importance of teaching our kids a desire for the Word of God in our homes. And I keep the Holy Ghost is nudging me to have studies and services in our home to get my children in his word. I often consider myself by reading his word, trying to read it daily, but it's important in our families to have that time where we take precious the word of God and we feast on it. So these are some promises that we can rely on, that we can stand on, that we might be able to do his will. In Matthew chapter 5, we find what many refer to as the Beatitudes. And going back to the scripture that we read earlier, that we are to commit ourselves to well-doing in Christ. Many of these beatitudes are attitudes of the heart, where our heart, what's in our heart. It's kind of a snapshot of our heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that mourn, poor in spirit, those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, those that mourn for their sins, those that are meek. I've heard this definition before. I like it. Strength under control. Someone who submits to God's will. The meek are those that that do God's will, I believe. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that are merciful. We talked about earlier about forgiving others so that we can be forgiven. But we should do it out of pure obedience to God. Blessed are the pure in heart, the peacemakers. This whole chapter is, much of it is on well-doing. If we want to know what to do to obey God, to do what is right, do good, this is a good chapter on it. It talks about being a light unto this world. In verse 43, it says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." These are all very difficult things to do in our natural state. But when we are gifted that love of God, where we see people as souls rather than as someone who's just attacked me verbally, we can have a love for them as God loves them. I remember a testimony of our brother, Jerry Case. He was at work in Ohio, and he was at the copy machine, and he turned around and he looked over all these cubicles. And of course, he worked at Procter & Gamble, large organization. He saw many people, but rather than seeing people, he said he saw souls. And it gave him such a different perspective. We don't desire that any soul should be damned, but saved. And that's the love of God that we should have in our hearts, that when somebody does something that hurts us, that we respond with the love that God had for us when he sent his son, and we put our sin, put him on the cross. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, verse 44. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's something you can do. Do good to them. Pray for them. Verse 45, well, I don't know if I finished them. That despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For ye, if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Have that pure love of Christ. And in Moroni it tells us to pray for that with all the energy of our hearts. So we read earlier about the promise of asking and we shall receive. We should ask God what we should do to witness to others. We should ask him for help when others persecute us, that we might have love for them. We should ask God how we can serve him in his church. And he'll let us know. And There are so many things that we can be doing in his church. When our brother Donnie was pastor, he thought of different interest groups. And for a while, we were doing different things to get brothers and sisters together and invite others. That was one way that we can serve the church, through interest groups. There's other ways. And we need to ask God how we can serve him in his church. 1 Peter, I'm going to read it once again. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, and this is the scripture I will end on. First Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God, them that submit their will to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. May God bless us that we will commit ourselves, if we are already or not, to his will, submitting our own desires to his will, that we can fulfill his plan for our life, fulfill his plan for this local, that we can be a light unto this community. May God bless us. That's my prayer.